Only three people. As a reminder, I just put up the first slide that I had in the initial proposal slides. So Docker is a virtualization solution that is very lean, so you don't run a complete virtual machine. You run something very very thin that just provides the essentials that you need. But you can have many instances running and talking to each other. And that makes it very nice as kind of a sandbox to do things in. Building Docker containers is fairly easy. So there's two ways of building Docker containers. You can do it interactively. So what you do is you basically say Docker minus IT means I want an interactive terminal. You use a base image, which is usually a distribution, some Linux distribution that you want to base your system on. And then you just start bash, and then you just add all the things that you want on the box, like on your as if you had a regular Linux machine. You exit the container, you commit the container the container that you've just built to an image, and then you can actually push it to a repository. So that's basically kind of very much like you're used, for example, from version control systems. And there is actually also a website called Docker Hub with some free accounts, where you get 30 gigabytes of free storage to actually share your stuff with other people. The other way of doing it is to build containers with scripts called Dockerfiles. So there's a simple language that actually instructs Docker to kind of add things automatically. So what you see there, so what I did for the Docker container that Peteris used for the interactive EMS. So I built the machine locally on the host back in Edinburgh. Then I ran strip. I'll get to that in a moment. And the Docker file is below. So I basically say, like, I start with an image, Ubuntu 12.04. I put in who's responsible for this image. I put a little label description, description as a label. And then this run basically runs a command on the machine that I'm building. And finally, I just copy over some files that are supposed to go into the image. And then once that is done, I push the image to the repository. So basically the build image is just a Docker build, and then you give it an image main name and feed in the Docker file. So the hands-on experience. So my first production image was 6.6 gigabyte, and I talked to Peter, and he's like, "Well, I have an image for you, but it's pretty big. I don't know how long it's going to take download it." And he said, "Like, well, did you strip the binaries? Did you run strip on the binaries?" And I was like, "What strip?" And then he explained it to me. So just finding out about that was worth coming to the MT marathon. So I did run strip. And any guesses? How much did I save? As of when? Okay. Okay, so I ran strip on my binaries, and ta-da! So actually the image now is only 272 megabytes. And that's definitely something that you can actually easily download. Okay, so then, like, once we had that done, I was curious whether we can actually, you know, integrate Moses into a production environment. So I built another Docker container with Moses and a model that when you start it up, automatically runs a Moses server. And I tried to use the open source software Maticat, which is a CAD tool, and tried to get that to talk to the server. Couldn't get it running, worked on it for about 1.5 days, but there were always issues where things just didn't work and I couldn't figure out where that was. So I was like, okay, let's try it just with a simple web page that uses JavaScript to kind of call the server. And I found out the hard way again that you actually can send certain requests from within a web page to a different domain. So you have to go back to the same as web server and proxy it through that. And I almost got it going, but there were some weird encoding issues. So like now, right now, I can translate stuff if it doesn't contain any special characters. So anything that fits within ASCII space, it works, and if it has some umlauts or something like that in German, it breaks, and I'm still a little puzzled how that happens and what I need to do, but I'm not a very experienced web programmer, so that's nothing. So, bottom line is, the fastest way to the Moses playground, there's lots of messages on the Moses support list of students trying to build it or something like that, so if somebody asks you, like, how can I get started on Moses, tell them install Docker, and then just say Docker run so that the first one, my last name, that's basically my account on Docker Hub, and the second thing is the name of the Moses image. You start that with a bash, and you have a running Moses production environment. Production environment means you can't fiddle with the source code unless you're fiddling with the scripts, but the source code is not included, the build tools are not included, but you have everything that you need to actually build Moses systems and do translations and run experiments. And that's about it. I think Box is specific to Amazon, and so I don't know Box very well. I mean, Docker is very versatile, and I think another thing with Docker is that you can actually get Docker containers to talk to one another, and I don't know whether you can get Box images to talk to one another. So what you can do in Docker is actually you can link different containers, and then they are available as basically servers. So the other containers are added to the etc. hosts list, and you can encapsulate a lot of the network infrastructure shielded from the outside. So you can actually have a complete thing with, you know, ports talking to each other that appears to the outside as just a single machine. So you can define one container that's basically the gateway container, and all the other ones are in the background, and it has also the advantage that you can do things that with fixed ports more easily. You can simply say, like, well, I always run my Moses server on that port, and I use a different container for each interface or for each language, and I can set that up more easily without having to worry about, like, the dynamic port assignments and things like that. So and I think the use case is a little different, but yeah, I mean it's a very similar approach. So I don't know whether the differences are really that big. But again, I think the thing is that Box is Amazon specific. So. It depends on what you put in it. Yes, it can be. So I mean, like the operating system is complete, but it's very, very, very lean. And Docker works a little differently. So you're not running a complete virtual machine. And actually, I think another difference to Docker to the Amazon Box is also that Docker allows you to actually include some stuffs off the host. So you can actually mount directories on the host in your Docker container. And you can have your Docker container write to the host file system. So it's more like an application. So like the containers are typically applications that you can run, but you can integrate it very nicely. It should work on. They have build instructions. They have installation instructions for both Mac OS and Windows. But my impression is that in Windows, you need to run it. You need to run Docker in a virtual machine. I don't know, but like a 32-bit Linux for machine translation is asking for trouble, I think, anyway. No. It includes a certain distribution. But I can run a Docker box with Ubuntu 14.04 on Ubuntu 12.04. Or Debian or whatever that's supported by Docker. Yes.
All right, but what do you
No. Well, okay. I mean, I haven't tried it now. But at least, according to the Docker claims, it does not. But there might also be some setup issues with Docker. As I said, like on Windows, you have to run it in a virtual machine, and it requires. I mean, Docker requires C groups. And No. It actually uses the host operating those. So basically, you don't have the usual problems that you have with setting up virtual machines, where you have to decide ahead of time how much disk space you give maximally. So what it happens, it actually has like these nice database features. So it, like there is kind of this the Docker images that are stored on a particular in a particular place on the host. Somewhere under var, blah blah blah, and then there's containers. So when you do anything in the virtual machine, it starts a container, and stores stuff there. And you can exit the container, you can shut down your machine, you can reboot your machine, you can start up the container again, and everything that you did and saved is still there. And then you can commit those changes to an image. Then it writes an image that's then can be actually run as a separate machine. So it's basically like this kind of writing an image is taking a snapshot of a machine at a particular state. When I say state of a machine, it means like not counting running processes. So it's just like kind of, you know, like what you get when you shut down a regular machine and boot it up again at that stage. You can, and I've also had like, sometimes it's a little tricky of getting services started at the beginning, so you may have to actually have a script. So I'm new to Docker myself, so then, you know, there's still a few things that I need to work out. But typically, you can just have a startup script when you start it, you know, where you run these things first.